This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom and Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Welcome to Mom and Mind. I am your host, Dr. Kat. This month, October, is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And all month, we are going to be sharing episodes from people who are sharing their lived experience. And we're also hearing from experts who have a specialty in being able to help support parents and families through these excruciating and difficult times. Now, as you'll hear throughout this month, there are many types of loss and many ways that loss affects people. And here on Mom and Mind podcast, we honor all types of loss. This episode in particular is termination for medical reasons. We are going to be talking with Sabrina Fletcher. She helps grieving parents in the aftermath of terminating a wanted pregnancy for medical reasons. Through community, support groups, and holistic healing, her clients learn to cope with grief and find ways to honor their babies. She chose this work and this specific type of pregnancy loss because she lost her own baby in this heartbreaking way in 2018. She's going to be sharing parts of her own story, as well as we are going to be talking about mental health concerns during and after termination for medical reason pregnancy loss. We're going to talk about how important it is to find healing through community, as well as cutting through the shame and silence, especially in this supercharged political climate around abortion. And this is an incredibly complex decision-making and heartbreaking decision-making process to have to terminate a wanted pregnancy due to medical reasons. There is a lack of grief and trauma-informed care around trauma, and she talks about how there is a lack of grief and trauma-informed care for termination for medical reasons patients, and people do experience trauma, and it is a huge impact on their mental health and well-being, let alone all the other complexities that are happening, having to possibly go to other states to receive medical care, and having to deal with other people's perceptions around what pregnancy loss and having to deal with other people's perceptions around termination for medical reasons and it sometimes not being seen as a pregnancy loss. But what Sabrina really reinforces and what is important for us to take note of is that termination for medical reasons is pregnancy loss. And the more compassion and understanding we have for parents who have to make these difficult decisions, the better off their mental health will be, as well as them receiving the care and support that they need. We are really trying to break through and bust the stigma of this type of loss in hopes that it will bring more understanding. And while these episodes around pregnancy loss can be really difficult to listen to, especially if you're somebody who's experienced a pregnancy loss, it is also still incredibly important that we're sharing stories, broadening our understanding, bringing in compassion, and supporting lost parents through this extremely difficult time. But certainly gauge for yourself if this is something you want to or able to listen to at this time, and just know that this episode will be here at any time that you're ready. So let's meet Sabrina. Welcome, Sabrina. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Kat, for having me on today. It's really important, especially in the times that we find ourselves. So I'm very grateful to have this space to talk about TFMR and to share my story and to hopefully help your listeners understand or feel seen and heard if they've been through this type of pregnancy loss as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. This podcast is supported by Factor. If you want stress-free and ready-to-eat meals for you and your family, then Factor it is. These meals are fresh and crafted by chefs, and all of that means that in 2 minutes, you can be eating a quality meal that you can really taste because it's never been frozen. You just heat and serve. Yesterday for lunch, I had the honey mustard chicken with green beans and potatoes, and it was so full of flavor, and it was also just the right amount of food to keep me going for the day and feeling good with the amount of protein that I needed. And what's cool is I'm going out of town for a little bit, and it was really easy to put the delivery on pause and set it up for when I return. Head to factormeals.com/momandmind50 and use code momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code momandmind50 at factormeals.com/momandmind50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This podcast is supported by Posh Peanut. My kids are still growing like weeds, and I will often enough have to get new sizes of clothes for them. And I know this is a thing that parents deal with, and if that's you, then check out Posh Peanut. Made from viscose from bamboo, the clothes stretch with your kid as they grow, and it's 4 times stretchier than cotton. These clothes are made to last, loved by parents, and approved by kids, most importantly. It's also super breathable and chemical free, and I love that. And it also means that it's delicate on sensitive skin. I got the most comfy pajamas for my kids, and they love the soft, stretchy feel of the material. And they have really great designs as well. Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but there are also great options for adults. I'm getting myself some of the Posh Peanut loungewear because the texture of the fabric is soothing to me. And thankfully, the clothes don't lose their soft feel after washing. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with the promo code MIND. Go to poshpeanut.com/mind and use promo code MIND for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/mind, promo code MIND.
Yeah, we're going to get into quite a bit, and knowing this is a relatively short period of time to be talking about this because there are so many intricacies and experiences related to TFMR, but I would love to start with your story and how you got into this work.
Yeah, thank you. Each time I tell it, I still can't believe that it's my story, but it is. So in 2018, I had to end my very wanted and planned pregnancy. It was my second baby. I had spent time beforehand doing all of the fertility things. I took this whole fertility course. I was tracking the cervical mucus. I was doing all the supplements, all the right things. Mm-hmm. And even still, my baby was very sick. So we found out in the 11 to 14 scan, she had cystic hygroma, which are like big masses in the back of the neck. And there was also fluid buildup all over her body, which I was told is called high drops. I mean, I had to become an expert in this fetal health, very specific type of conditions that I had no idea what they even meant or what that meant long term. And so the doctor explained as much as he could in that ultrasound, but it was a very traumatic experience. It was a vaginal ultrasound. So, you know, I was already exposed, and then my heart was breaking. I mean, shattered in a million pieces when he was telling us everything that was wrong and what it could mean and what the causes could be. And then when he started explaining what our options were, it got even worse. He said that he couldn't help us. He couldn't help us in the state that we were living in. I live in Mexico, and in the state where I live, he said that if we did decide to terminate the pregnancy, and he was very gentle about all of the options and that it was up to us, and that, you know, he would support us no matter what. But his support ended where the laws restricted him. So he was not able to do a DNC for us. He was not able to help my daughter pass. We had to go out of state. And then even out of state, in the next state over, in the Mexico City state, we were still up against a time limit. And he knew that. So while he was explaining these things, he was saying, well, it could be this or that or this. If you wait until 18 weeks, we can do an amniocentesis where they pull the fluid out and they find out the child's genetic condition. If there is one, even if there is one, I mean, we don't know what could have been found because we didn't have time. There was no time. He said, whatever you choose, you need to choose now.
So this is, I mean, like just thinking, a half an
oh, sorry,
hour
go ahead.
Something like that. What's the time frame where you're starting with the ultrasound, excited, hopeful, to all of a sudden you have to make this heartbreaking, life-shattering decision?
Less than an hour. Yeah, 40 minutes.
Really fast. That's a lot to go through in any amount of time, but in that condensed, like your brain just, I'm sure, was scrambled.
I was in crisis mode. It was a traumatic moment. I was in shock.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I was crying, if I couldn't even cry. If I remember the room like zooming in and out. Mm-hmm. Just, it's not the right headspace to be in to make a lifelong decision for your child. And it was completely rushed because of the laws. So I only had like 5 days after that to decide, but also then to find out where and who and which doctor and if they would, and to make sure that there was a space and time, that there was an appointment open before we were at this arbitrary cutoff period. Because, I mean, what's the difference between 13 weeks and 7 days and 14 weeks and zero? There's no difference, but there's a huge difference in the laws and what I would have had to go through if it would have been past that. I would have had to go through an ethics committee and had some random doctors decide for me, which just like heaps on the shame and the stigma. Like my case is ethics, my medical decision for my child, for my own body, because there was another layer, the maternal health side, where if I would have continued the pregnancy, the swelling in my baby's body, there's a syndrome, it's called mirror syndrome. I could have begun to have swelling in my own organs in the same way that was happening to my baby. And then if I would have continued the pregnancy and if we would have, you know, done all of the means, everything that we could for our child, it wasn't even going to be a regular birth. I mean, what's regular, but it wasn't even going to be a regular cesarean section. It had to be something called an exit strategy, where they like cut you way open and they have to remove the baby and their placenta at the same time. And it's very dangerous for both baby and carrier and mother. So it was a lot. Wow. How do you make that decision in 40 minutes, in 6 days, even in a few weeks?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. There's no good decision to make. There's nothing that's going to feel good. How could it?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you're at that point, whatever you decide, you just have to be okay with the decision that you make. Because like you said, it's neither good nor bad to end the pregnancy then, to end the pregnancy later, to continue, to do everything you can. They're just different parenting choices.
For sure. All of it feeling hard and difficult. And yeah, there's just not a decision to make that is gonna, where you won't have to deal with a huge emotional impact.
Exactly. And the solitary nature of it. You know, I was cut off from care from my doctor that I knew.
Oh,
I was sent to another state.
Right.
There was no continuity of care. There was no one who called me later or said, here are the other clients who have been through this, or here is a doula, or here is a bereavement midwife. Since you're leaning towards termination, you could talk to them about your options, or, you know, what's coming next, or here are these communities, which is what I do now. I have a community for people who have had to TFMR, termination for medical reasons. That's the acronym that is being most used right now in these cases, TFMR. So there are communities out there, but most doctors, nurses, even in the abortion clinics, some do refer people out to get this care so that their patients can know people have been through this before and they do get through it. And here's the support that you desperately need right now. Here are the other people who can give you advice. You can ask them about their experiences, different memory making things that you can do. Make sure to ask for handprints and footprints. And if you're going to be induced, you know, have the baby treated as a baby, they can be wrapped up. You can hold the baby. You can use a cuddle cot, which is like a refrigerated cot for the baby so that you can be in contact with the baby longer, or a saline bath to preserve the baby's body longer. You can take pictures, all of these things. There was none of that information given to me. I was just like thrown into an abyss and I had to instantaneously be an expert on my baby's conditions when I was no expert.
Oh, right. Right. And let alone how you want to care for them after birth.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, this is a short period of time. Again, you said five days later or whenever it was later that within that period of time, you had to make a decision, travel somewhere where it was legal. I think that's what you're saying, which is already like, there's just so many parts to this that any single part of it could have been traumatizing enough. But this, exactly. This is so multi-layered.
I mean, informally, I would say the rate of PTSD in people that go through these types of terminations where it's a pregnancy loss has got to be above 80%. That informally, that's what I see in my communities.
That's high. It's a lot.
It's a it's really high
impact on your life. So you went through this whole experience, and if you want to share any other part of it, you're more than welcome to. I guess I'm curious, at what point are you then thinking about providing this kind of support to other people?
As I was in the abortion clinic alone, my husband couldn't even sit next to me. And I was asking for things, for support coming out of the anesthesia or the twilight sleep or whatever you want to call it, but deeply grieving, deeply hurt, feeling so alone, feeling like the nurses were not seeing me as a grieving mother. It just felt like I was the crazy one. And, you know, it was in that moment that I thought, people need someone here with them through this experience to know what's coming and to have their emotional needs met.
Right.
I thought, where's my doula? Because I had a baby before we lost this baby, and I'm very pro doula. And she was 4 or 5 at the time, my older daughter. And I loved that experience, having a doula through the, you know, pregnancy and birth, just someone to tend to my emotional needs, spiritual needs, psychological needs, because the doctors, the midwives, they're doing their job. They're tending to your body, but we're a holistic being. We have all of those things are still going on. I'm not just a hunk of body meat sitting there.
Right. Right. So all the medicalized part of it, you know, when you were speaking about being in the abortion clinic and feeling like you were crazy, was that like because you were having big emotional experiences and they weren't responding to that or minimizing it? Or what was that experience?
They were ignoring my big emotions. I think I was handed a box of Kleenex, but no one even said, I'm sorry for your loss, or the doctor told us about your case and do you need me to sit next to you? I mean, they couldn't. They couldn't sit next to me because they were tending to all of the different patients all at the same time. But I think even more than that, they didn't know how to move into that space with me.
Right.
They were used to the unwanted pregnancy box, which people are allowed to have huge emotions and big grief experiences with that kind of abortion too. But it felt very medicalized, very cold, very much just, this is the procedure, and now you're fine. I was not fine. So that was where the crazy part came in. Like, I was not fine. And I think the emotions were even more and more heightened because no one was seeing me. No one was acknowledging how awful this experience was, that I was losing a baby, that I was having to help my child die in this very disconnected way. They didn't let me see her afterwards, even though I asked. So,
I mean, right. That's just another.
What could I do? What could I do with that?
Was your husband in the room with you or anybody else?
He was allowed to be with me in the way COVID might change things. And depending on what state or country people find themselves in, there's also security risks. So sometimes a companion is not even allowed to go into the clinic with you. For them, it was more of a privacy, medical privacy, but the medical privacy, because we were all together in the waiting room. But then in the pre and the post-op recovery and like pre space, that was where they didn't want him because, I don't know, they said mostly for privacy of the other patients. And yet I was having like an emotional breakdown. I needed someone by my side, but that's just the way that they had things set up.
So you're in there going through all of this massive emotional experience and upheaval. And you said before that's when you realized you wanted to be able to support other people going through this.
Yeah, I wanted to be that companion, that support person.
So
in that space, because the grief continues, the grief process will take the time it needs to take.
For sure. So thank you for sharing your story. I think there's so many parts to your experience that will help people understand the complexity and the difficulty for, I mean, that's not even a big enough word to describe how hard it is, what you've been through. And this is your story with your complexities due to, you know, your context in some ways. And then certainly what was happening for your baby medically, but there are so many other iterations of this that I imagine you've seen so much in the work that you do. Can you share with us some bits of that, some part of your work and what you see specifically as it relates to mental health?
I think the aspect that's really missing and what adversely affects our mental health as we go through this process is the lack of community, the silence around baby loss in general, and then the silence around it needing to be an abortion or a termination, or other terms people use are compassionate induction or like an early induced birth. But that's what really negatively affects us, is that it's not talked about, and yet it's way more common than we know. So there are some studies out of Europe that show that TFMR, so this type of termination, this type of abortion, this type of pregnancy loss is up to 3 times more common than stillbirth and infant loss combined. So if that number, I've seen that number at like one in 160 pregnancies, somewhere around there. So we're looking at 1 in 55-ish is a termination and this type of pregnancy loss. And the people going through it are psychologically and emotionally experiencing it as pregnancy loss. And yet it's not recognized. And even the grief around pregnancy loss or infant loss, it's not understood. It's not recognized. It's swept under the rug. It's you can try again, or at least you know you can get pregnant, or it's good you caught it. It's no. Yeah, I see you shaking your head. Yeah, no. Right. None of those sayings help. The help we need is to be seen and to be acknowledged and for our grief to be honored, just in the same way that we love and honor our babies and we love and honor ourselves. But we have to learn how to do that on our own. So it's the lack of community, the silence around it,
right,
is harmful.
For sure. There's, yeah, you're mentioning that the silence, and I know that there's a lot of reasons, not necessarily good reasons, that people are silent about this. Some of it is due to political climate. Some of it's due to family dynamics. I mean, there's so many different ways that it can show up, but that silence is also just so closely connected to other emotional states like guilt and shame and anger and whatever can come up in that silence because it's not expressed and it's not seen. What are you seeing in terms of that emotional impact?
So when we internalize all of those emotions and just bottle them up, it turns into depression, anxiety, and then the trauma piece of going through an experience like this on top of these heightened isolation states.
Right.
You know, if we can say like depression and anxiety from the isolation and from the being cut off from your community and being cut off from your support and the threat of actually being completely cut off mm-hmm. from your family.
Right.
From what's like root base stuff here.
Right.
You could be cut off from money, love, support, your spiritual community. And in some places, maybe your doctor will even be sued. And then how do you live with that? And how can you outwardly go and look for grief support in this situation? Mm-hmm. It's just absurd. And so, of course, it's turning into all of these mental health issues. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Right. Because it gets so, it sounds like, well, it has to be. It gets so distilled, though, into from whatever, all the things you were saying about these barriers to help and support. It gets distilled down into the person, the mom or the person who's needing to make this decision within their body. And so all fingers get pointed to you, essentially. Like, why are you making this decision? How dare you? Like, there's just inherent shame in all of these layers or shaming, I should say, by these factors.
Yeah.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
How are you going to feel supported within all of that? It just speaks to how
I mean, that's the big question. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Thank you. I'm so honored to do this work and to hold these spaces. But even still, I see, you know, people will send me a message and they're like, how hidden is your Facebook group? Will people see that I'm in there? You know, because there could be legal ramifications for them even being a member of a hidden Facebook group. And I also run small groups. So I run grief circles. That's like the higher private level of support that I offer, and even one-on-one. And sometimes people choose the one-on-one level because they're like, well, I don't know who else, like, how could I really completely open up and share all of the intricacies of my story and the state that I live in and what I had to go through? How do I know that those other people, you know, how can I trust? And then even sometimes in the grief circles, the first couple of sessions, people are like, well, maybe I won't turn on my video. I could be found out, you know, and it just breaks my heart because that's the healing that we need. Right. We need that connection. Mm-hmm. We need to share our stories. We need someone else to see our face, to see the love and the pain on our face, mm-hmm. and to hold it with us. And when they don't feel safe enough to do that, how can the healing happen?
Right.
But it's so much bigger than me. It's not right, that like right. my space is unsafe. It's like all of these things are happening.
Right. And so the person who's had to make this decision of whether to have a TMFR, they had to go through their own process of making that decision. And no, we had talked a little bit before we started recording about this really important process of having to reconcile having this decision while also having to contend with whatever your religious beliefs are or anything like that. It's like, yeah, can you speak to that for just a moment? I feel like this could be a whole separate episode, but.
Oh, yeah, the political and the religious side of things, because they're all intertwined now.
Exactly.
And it's more in each of the world religions, there is space for compassion. Mm-hmm. There is space for the gray and for the human. And I even want to use the word forgiveness. There's nothing to be forgiven, but
from a religious,
there's space for all of that. But the political has now been married to these extremist religious ideas, and it gets all focused on abortion is wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's very black and white mm-hmm. when we find out. And when you find yourself in this situation, it's like, oh, but what about this situation? Right. This is not black and white. And mm-hmm. this has to do with quality of life and suffering. And I'm just supposed to let my baby suffer. I'm just supposed to suffer myself until I'm at the brink of death. And then the doctors can help me. How is that the Hippocratic Oath?
Right. Right. So there's a whole other process just around having to make a decision that is quote unquote against your political or religious beliefs or system that you're in.
Yeah. And some people come into the community having made this decision, and now they have to contend with their whole upbringing and hiding it from their whole family, from certain family members. Maybe they don't post about their baby and their grief process when that's what they really need to be doing to move through it and to get the support, but they can't because there's this stigma around it. And it may, and it usually is, also internalized stigma.
Right. That I shouldn't be doing this. I'm a bad person for even thinking
how could I have done this? How could I have made this decision? I had those feelings too.
It's so complex. Meaning there's just so many ways in which, I'll just leave it at, it's just so complex. And you were also.
And this contending with I should or I shouldn't. Or this is the right decision, or my religion says I should do this, or the laws, or all of that. Sometimes it's even within the same person. Some of our community members will get the same diagnosis more than once. And in one pregnancy, they continue the pregnancy, and they're either raising a medically fragile child, or their child died at birth. And then in another pregnancy, they make a different medical decision because they already know what it all entails. So how do you even, then it's again on a very personal level. Well, I'm a person who makes this decision sometimes and sometimes I don't, but it's all welcome because it's all part of the human experience.
I mean, this is all incredibly, incredibly difficult and deeply emotional. I'm sort of thinking about the folks out there who are listening and feeling the heaviness and the weight of what all we've been talking about. And I'm curious what you see in the way of healing. Like, how do people get through this?
So it feels hopeless and it feels completely isolating because it is. There's a darkness that you have to traverse to muck through all of these different issues and themes that come up with losing a baby in this heartbreaking way. And what helps immensely, and I get messages from people and they say, your group saved my life. And I feel the same way. The termination for medical reasons groups that I found early on in my life, the TFMR, the termination for medical reasons spaces that I found early on in this experience saved my life because I was able to find other people who had been through it and they had been through it. There was hope that on the other side of this, There's understanding, there's support, there's love, there's still a beautiful life. There's someone missing. Mm-hmm. There will always be someone missing in my family, but the love doesn't go away. But I learned that, and I see other people learn that through community, through being in these spaces, through healing together, through working through it together. And you're together, maybe, you know, finding a trusted therapist. You're together could be joining a Facebook group or another sort of space or a grief circle or ending a wanted pregnancy support group, or even having that one friend that you connect with through Instagram. Whatever your community is, we create these connections and then we can come back to our own connection, to our own humanity through this process and the love that we will continue to carry for our babies and they for us too.
That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I really, you know, anyone who's ever thought about having to deal with something like this might say, I don't know how I would get through that. And I can't know how until you're, and you don't even know what it's going to look like then. It just sounds like a very, just one foot in front of the other process, having someone with you along the way. Yeah. Sabrina, I thank you so much for coming on and sharing your heart and your story and your work and just this lifeline for people who are going through this. Thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you so much for bringing me on and the holding space for all of us that have had to be in this position or close to it or know someone. You know someone. Mm-hmm. You know someone who has been through this. So it really does affect everyone. If you know someone who's had a stillbirth, then you know two people or more who have also had to terminate a pregnancy for medical reasons. So it's all of us, really.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that into focus. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You can find out more about termination for medical reasons and Sabrina's work by going to thetmfrdoula.com and finding her on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok at TheFT, and finding her on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at TheTFMRDoula. As usual, please do share this episode with anybody who could use the support and understanding that this episode brings with it. Thank you so much for being with us. Until next time. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please share this podcast. Together we can support moms and families so that no one has to deal with this alone. Come connect with us at momandmind.com.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talk to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unstick it.